Oh, I'm sorry. Amanda Rose is going to have our story, children's story today. She's here with her husband, Eric, from Guatemala, and is going to have a special story for the children. So we'll look forward to that.
Welcome, boys and girls. Happy Sabbath to all of you. You know, it makes me so happy to be in such a big group of children. When we worship at our home on Sabbath, because there's no one else to worship right nearby us, it's just us at the family, and we enjoy it. But it's really nice to be around so many other people. Can you look at that picture? Do you see that up on the screen? We're gonna tell a story about toys today. Do any of you like toys? Do you like sharing your toys? Sometimes that's hard, but when we really learn to do it in our hearts, it can make us really happy, you know? Well, this is a picture of my son, Kent. He's right here. But this picture was taken about 2 years ago. And he was 3 years old, and this is a picture of us in the airport moving to Guatemala. We decided to move to Guatemala and be missionaries. And when we were thinking about it, I knew I was going to have to get rid of a lot of Kent's toys. And I didn't know if he was going to like that. And I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, please help Kent's heart to be touched, that he would be willing to get rid of some of his toys. So I started telling them about what a missionary is. Who knows what a missionary is? Can anybody tell me? What's a missionary? Sean. Very good. Right. You can be a missionary to your neighbor, to your sister, or you can go to a faraway country. Someone who's working for God. Well, in this case, we were going to a faraway country, and we couldn't take all of our things with us. We could only take 7 boxes. And this is all of our stuff here, some of it was suitcases, and some of it was boxes, and we sold all our stuff except for that right there. And that was an interesting feeling, just being us in the airport, and that was all we had in the world, except for 1 box stored with some friends here in the U.S. So anyway, this was in the middle of the night. Kent looks pretty tired in that picture. But I've been praying, and I came, and I was telling them about how missionaries, they just sell their stuff, and they just go, and they don't worry about their stuff anymore, and they go so they can tell people about Jesus. And Kent thought that was a nice idea, said, Kent, would you be willing to get rid of some of your toys so we can go be missionaries? And I was surprised, and he said, yes, Mama, you can get rid of all those toys. And I know that Jesus must have helped him say that, because he wouldn't normally have wanted to say that. But I think Jesus was hearing my prayers, don't you? So he said, sure, Mama, go ahead and get rid of all those toys. So we chose a few special toys to put in our boxes, but all the rest, we sold them or gave them away. He got to keep what little money he got from selling them so he might buy some other new things once we got to Guatemala. But anyway, and then the day came when we were saying goodbye to our precious home, and the Kent's bike was still there. And I was really afraid to bring that up, that we couldn't bring it with us. I was afraid he was going to cry. But he said, oh, Mama, you can give my bike to my friend Peyton. You can just give it to him. That's fine. And I was so shocked. I thought it was going to be a big ordeal, but Jesus was helping him. Jesus helps us all. So we moved to Guatemala, said goodbye to all our things and all our friends. And I want to tell you a promise in the Bible, because sometimes it's hard when we move away and we have to say goodbye. But Jesus gave us a promise. It says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. What an amazing promise. And we read that one a lot. We really like that one. Okay, and there's one more. It says, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Okay? So that was what Jesus helped Kent to do. And it wasn't Kent that he was just so good. It was Jesus helping Kent. Okay? And then we got to Guatemala, and we were there for a while. Can anybody tell me what they see in the picture? A bike. Can anybody read what that bike says? It's hard to read from here. But on the letters, if you look up close, it says K-E-N-T. That's my son's name. His name is Kent. And you didn't believe what happened. We were going to, it's like a thrift store over there in Guatemala. And it was one of the nicest stores around, actually, even though it was a thrift store. And they had things from America. And they had some bikes there. And Kent saw the bike and he said, oh, Mama, look, it's a bike. I think it's my size. And then went over to look at it, and I couldn't believe it said Kent on it. And he thought that was so neat. That God sent there from all the way from America a bike with his very own name written on it already. Isn't that special? You know, Jesus loves every one of you, and he loves to do special things for us, especially when we maybe share or do something that he wants us to do. He wants to reward us, doesn't he? Okay, and then I'm going to share one more very short story, one more, about, so you have an idea of in Guatemala, the children are very poor, and they don't have a lot of toys. A lot of them don't have a single toy at all. Their houses have dirt floors, and anyway, there was a lady that came to my house, and she had a little girl. And she was sitting there, and I was visiting with her, and her little girl looked kind of sad. And I asked the mother about her little girl. How's your little girl doing? And the mother smiled, and she looked at me, and she said, well, she's sad. She saw one of the toys. She said that she wanted a toy like little Patience had that she saw. This is my daughter, Patience, and she was playing with a toy, and that little girl had seen it, and she wanted a toy because she didn't have one. I don't think she had even one toy at all. And, oh, that just touched my heart. The little girl was sad because she didn't have even one toy, I don't think. Oh, so I went in the house, and I thought, well, this little girl was 7 years old, and Patience wasn't even 2 years old, so her little toys were just little baby toys. I thought, oh, she probably wouldn't like those, but I got one anyway. It was just a crinkly baby book that had numbers on it, and I brought it to her, and I gave it to her, and that little girl just brightened up. She was so happy. She had a big smile on her face, and she started counting, because over there, the numbers look the same as they do over here, and she was able to read it, and she was so happy. So let's all remember that. Because sometimes we want to be selfish and we don't want to share. But if we'll just share like Jesus wants us to, we'll be happier than we just kept it all to ourselves, won't we? Amen. You can go back to your seats.
Okay, it's now our opportunity to come to the throne of grace. If you have a special request, write it on the blue card and bring it down to the front and join me down here. Dear Father, this morning as we kneel here in your house, in your presence, we count it a privilege to be here, to come before you and to worship you, to praise you for being the great God of the universe, our Creator, and not only our Creator, but our Redeemer. We first of all want to plead for your mercy and forgiveness for the ways in which we have failed in the past, this past week. We ask that you would forgive us for those sins. We pray now for this time, this special hour that we spend here worshiping you, that the Holy Spirit would be here to speak to each one of us, to help us to push out the noise of the week, the distractions. We want to thank you for not only the blessings of this past week, but also the trials that have once again reminded us that we are totally and completely dependent on you. So we want to look to you now and bring all of our burdens, cast them upon you as you've told us to do. I hold up these blue cards, Lord, special requests. You have known from eternity past what each one was going to write on this card. You have already a plan in place to meet the needs. And Lord, I know that everyone kneeling here before you have needs. They just haven't written it down. But you know what those needs are, and we pray that you would meet each one's needs perfectly, as only you can. So we pray. I want to lift up also our speaker today, Eric Rose. Pray that you would give him your words today to speak to us. Help us to listen to your voice speaking to us through him today. And Father, we pray for anyone among us who is sick today, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, that you would touch them with healing. Be with us now through this time, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Today's offering is for the local church budget. And I'm wondering if anybody out here has ever made a foolish decision. I'm not the only one. Well, there's something here that some people might call a foolish decision in Mark 12:41. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling the disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." I kind of have a personal experience with this text. several years ago, I had quit my job to pursue what I thought was a better opportunity. And a few months, I realized that the opportunity was never going to materialize, and I was out of money. My lease was up, I didn't have a job, and I didn't have any immediate prospects. I went to church. It was a special meeting. I can't even remember what day it was on now. But during the offering, I thought about this story and the poor widow giving everything she had. And all I had was some money in my wallet. I don't remember how much it was. But I took everything in my wallet, and I put it in the offering plate. And I knew that in a couple weeks, I was probably going to be homeless. I left everything in God's hands. Well, you know, I put that money in there, and I didn't think about it again. I went home. And I was eating the groceries in my kitchen that I still had left. And unexpectedly, I received a check in the mail for $1,200. You know, the reason I had the courage to do that was because of this poor widow. And I was literally thinking of this story when I put my money in the offering plate. This widow has no idea how much of an impact she's had throughout the last 2,000 years as her story's been told. She doesn't know who any of us are, but when we get to heaven, we are all going to know who she is. So let's never be discouraged. Let's give what we have to give, what God puts on our hearts, and he will provide the increase. May the deacons please come forward. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and praise you for all your goodness to us. We want to thank you for giving us the resources that we gave back to you today, just a small amount. We also want to thank you for your blessing and your grace, that no amount is too small for you to work with. And there's one thing we can all give, whether we had money to give or not today, and we can all give you our hearts. Let us love you with our full hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I guess there's no special music today, so we'll continue on with the scripture reading.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading will be at Psalms 2, verse 8. Psalms 2, verse 8. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession.
Okay, it's my privilege to introduce our speaker for today. For some of us, this is a homecoming for our speaker and their family. Today, have known Eric and Amanda for a number of years. For some of you, this may be your first time getting acquainted with them, so I want to let you know who Eric and Amanda are. They spent several years here. In the process of being here, they became one in marriage, then left, and we were really sad when they did. They left to go down to Oklahoma for a couple, 2 or 3 years. And during that time, the Lord laid a burden on their hearts to do mission work in Guatemala among an unreached people group. And that's where they've been for the last couple of years. And today we get the opportunity to find out a little bit of what they've been doing and their plans for the future for their work in Guatemala. So I want to bring Eric up now, and I know he has a few announcements to make first.
Happy Sabbath. You don't know what a privilege it is to be here. About this time, I would probably be drawing on a whiteboard, illustrating my sermon so that my children will be able to pay attention back home. I want to thank Dr. Bryant for praying for me, and also for giving a little introduction. This morning, I'm going to try, by God's grace, to give you a little bit of the testimony of how we moved to Guatemala, probably for a couple of reasons. It's interesting, and I think it will hold, will maybe encourage you about foreign missions. And then I want to tell you a little bit about what we're doing there and then give a little appeal, hopefully, may God work on your hearts to encourage you to give your own personal service for foreign missions as well. Dr. Bryan encouraged me to go ahead and I'm going to just pass out these little sheets. You can put your name and your email address on here if you want to receive our mission updates about every 2 months, but there's no obligation. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. So I'm going to just pass these out right now.
Okay.
this church holds special memories for us because, as Dr. Bryant said, we were married here, we worked here, and our first child was born here. And it's with great satisfaction that we come here and share. let's see here. Brother Conway, can you put up the first slide? Or the second slide, actually. Okay, thank you. So, we had, my wife and I and our son, we had a fairly comfortable life here in the Wichita area. We actually had the privilege of working for the Three Angels Church here. I did, kind of helping promote the health evangelism going on here. And that was a great job. I mean, what better job could you have than that? But my wife and I were very interested in trying to follow kind of the country living message. And we wanted to have our own land and grow our own food as much as possible. But we were very poor. But anyways, to make a long story short there, we were able to move to Oklahoma about 5 years ago, and we moved to a property that was completely undeveloped. It was just a raw piece of forest, and I know that the Tans and the Heaths had their valid concerns about us doing this, as well as probably others of you, but the Lord blessed us. Here you can see Amanda and Kent. We had a humble situation. In fact, at the very first, Michael Wilson lent us a tent to live in because we didn't even have our own tent. Now that might sound pretty radical to you, and it was. But the good news is God used that at almost like training wheels to help us be so willing to move to a foreign country. I mean, if you go through something like that, a foreign country seems like a step up. So God is so good, and He works with us by degrees. He doesn't necessarily give us a full challenge right at the onset, but prepares us by smaller tests. Anyways, I have a very good wife, and I have a very good God, and He helped us go through that time. We loved our place in Oklahoma, and God prospered us there. We ended up with a nice little tiny house and other things. But we had a big burden for true education, trying to educate young people along the Lord's lines, in His plans, with practical skills and other things like that. But we were trying to do that as much as we were able to, but we just kept running into snags, just different problems. You know, America is one of the chief countries of the world, if not the chief country, and that comes with a price, and some of that is a lot of legal issues and things like that. So we had some challenges doing that. So, and then kind of during this time, out of the blue, we received an invitation to move to Nicaragua. And we were not considering moving to a foreign country, and we ended up turning that down. But it opened our minds up to the possibility of selling what we had in the USA and moving to a third world country. And we thought, you know, this might be an opportunity to have an easier time fulfilling our dreams for working for the Lord. And also, we were hoping our resources would go farther in a third world country. But the world's a big place. Where do you go? There's many countries in the world. They all need help, really. So, but you know, the reality is that we don't have sufficient wisdom to plan our own life. And what a blessed reality that is, because when you realize that, you can be open to the Lord's leading in your life. So we prayed to the Lord earnestly, and I'll just share a tiny bit of how the Lord led us, but I can almost guarantee that you probably won't understand, and that's okay. You know, when Abraham was led, well, God told him to move to a country, but God didn't tell them the name of the place. You know, when Abraham told his idolatrous family and friends about that call, do you think they understood Abraham? You think they're just like, oh, that's right, Abraham. What a good idea. No, they thought he was crazy. So, have any of you heard of George Mueller? Okay, well, praise God. He was a true man of faith, lived many years ago in England. He was actually a German. But he created quite a system of orphanages for young orphans there in England. And he often had to make hard decisions that he honestly did not know the answer to. And he would pray to the Lord, and the Lord would often lead him through providence. And sometimes he would pray on his knees to the Lord. He would open the scriptures and start reading somewhere, and something would just strike him. Just something stood out, and the Lord impressed him through the scriptures. And that's what the Lord did with us, not just with one verse, but many verses. But one verse that stood out to me from the beginning was in Psalms 91. It says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." I remembered during this time that someone had told me about Guatemala before, so I called him up, and right away he said, "You can come to Guatemala and stay at my parents' home." And as he was describing his parents' home, he said they live in a place called Cerro Lindo, which means beautiful hill. And then he said it's in a state called Alta Verapaz, which means, it means true high peace. But anyways, my Spanish wasn't very good at the time, but I knew that Alta meant high. And so with this and many other things, pretty soon we were convicted that God wanted us to go to Guatemala, and not just anywhere, but to Alta Verapaz. So can you do the next slide, brother? Thank you. This is where we ended up for the first 6 months. It was an Adventist family, kind of an older couple. They had a fairly nice house for Guatemala, especially in this beautiful area, and they let us stay with them for about 6.5 months, and they didn't speak any English, but that meant we had to learn Spanish quick. Both my wife and I had studied Spanish, but a little bit in school, but that was 10 years prior to us going there, and for me it was only one semester, so my Spanish was very limited. So about half a year after God led us through the scriptures to go to Guatemala, we were in Guatemala, and I was sitting under the shadow of limestone boulders praying again to God for guidance. Because finding land in Guatemala was a lot harder than we expected. There's no real estate agents. My Spanish was very, sometimes I start thinking in Spanish, so I have to figure out what language I need to speak in. But so my Spanish was really bad. And also, you know, it's very strange, but this is not just isolated to Guatemala, but around the world in this 21st century, even in countries where the people can hardly even earn a few dollars a day, land prices are about the same as it is in the USA. I mean, there's a lot of land in Guatemala that's worth more than the land in the US. And so we were a little bit shocked, and, you know, we weren't exceedingly wealthy, so we were really struggling to find a place that we could afford, which we hadn't really anticipated. And originally, we were seeking for a place. They had a house as well as some fruit trees already established, because we had left a property in Oklahoma that had fruit trees already growing, and we didn't want to start back at ground zero again. But God had other plans. We ended up starting at ground zero again, but that's okay. God is good. Amen. So, but during this time, though, I came across this verse that nice young lady read for the scripture reading, Psalms 2:8. And can you think of a better verse for missionaries than that? It says, "Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession." That's the King James. And that's what we wanted. We came there for souls, and that's the best inheritance we could have had. But at the same time, every missionary needs somewhere to stay, somewhere to live. And so we were pleading for the last part of the verse to be fulfilled in our life, that we would have some part of the world as our possession. So I felt convicted. I mean, what is the first word of that verse? Ask. So I did. I knelt there on those near those rocks and prayed to God for help. And he did help us. I had been kind of waiting for God to show us a property. But in the end, God told me that I needed to start looking more. But God was merciful, and I don't have time to share with you all the details, but God brought us to a property and even gave certain signs that it was his will, because, you know, like I said, we're not wise enough to plan our own way. So, okay, you can go to the next slide here. This is our property. You can't really see our house very well there. But you can see it's on top of a hill, and so it's kind of, it just ended up as almost a little fulfillment of Psalms 91, and God set us on high, and it's a little bit removed from the nearest village, and it's removed from the road, actually. You have to walk about 40 minutes on foot to get from the nearest road to our house, and you might think that's probably a bad idea, but you know what? It's a blessing, because along the road, there's a lot of traffic. Some of it's not good traffic. There's some degree of narcotic trafficking and other things in Guatemala. Guatemala doesn't have the best reputation. So we're away from the trash and the traffic of the roads, away from the village. And so God did bless us. It's not the easiest property, but I think it's the best, the right one for us. Okay, but the greatest thing really is that we're in a perfect mission field. The tribe or the people group around us is called the Kekchi people, and there's about 1 million of them, and they don't have TVs, they basically don't have cell phones, no electricity for the most part, especially in our area there's no electricity, and they don't know who Adventists are. So we have a perfect opportunity to share them before the television gets to their area and other distractions that we have in this first world. So we're very thankful. And really, the way we really found it was because it was the only thing we could afford. But, you know, God works with us according to what we have. He doesn't always give us more, but he says, use what you have. And that's a lesson for all of us. And the Bible says, despise not the day of small things. Just use what you have, and God will help you. Okay. So if you thought we were already like fish out of water, moving to a country where we didn't really know the language, it's even worse where we are, because the people don't speak Spanish. So all that Spanish we've been learning, we couldn't really use very much. So probably 95% of the people don't know Spanish where we live. They know the Kekchi language. So we really have to learn two languages. So we're really not geniuses, so please pray for us that we'll be able to learn as fast as we can. But fortunately, we're able to know enough Spanish to get by with Spanish, and we can get translators to translate into Kekchi. So God has helped us. So as you heard, we were staying with the Adventist family for about 6 months, and then we moved to this Kekchi area, or this other area, to our new property, And when we went there, I had to ask permission to move to the area. I mean, Americans aren't really used to this, but I went to the village leaders, and they said that they would arrange a meeting to basically vote whether they would give me the right to cross their land. So I remember the first meeting. It was just me amongst all these Kekchi men in a dark schoolhouse. And there's no electricity, so it was pretty dark in there. And they gave me the floor to describe what we were going to do and things like that. And after I was done talking, I sat down. And after a while, one of the oldest men arose, and he said, "We want you to be our neighbor." And it was quite an experience. But what a blessing that they were willing to let us come. And it's been a blessing to them. I don't have time to share everything, of course, but it's been a blessing for them, too, in more ways than one. And it certainly was a blessing for us. So we, the town council said that we could stay in a little room in the middle of the village until we had built our own house on our property. So while I was very thankful for that, it came with its costs as well. It was a one room with a mud floor with no windows in the middle of the village next to the school. So when we showed up with the moving van, it was just a truck with all of our stuff in the world on it, and we had bought back some furniture and things there. They unloaded it half an hour away. Amanda and the children walked to the little hut and started trying to set up shop. Well, the whole village carried all of our belongings on their backs. Yeah, what a blessing, right? They're very strong people, and they're very willing to help, of course, for a price. But all our stuff started arriving, and Amanda had the challenge of organizing all this stuff in one room with a mud floor, and everyone started flocking around to see the white people. And so people were peering in every crack and crying in the door and through the window, and, well, there was no window, but through the other, there's an opening there. And eventually, Kent and Patience about had a nervous breakdown because they couldn't tolerate all those people trying to stare at him. But anyways, we were so desperate to get out of that little hut there into our own place that we just hurried on the workers at our new property, and in a week and a half, they built us a little shed. And you can go to the next slide here. That was our first little house. It was just like 10 by 20. But that was much better. It had a concrete floor, so we moved in there. And it was a great blessing. On our property, we didn't have the mud coming or the rain coming in the house on the floor. But I don't know if you can see, but it's not really an American house. It has cracks, and so when it would rain, the rain would pour in. And I'll never forget. One night, we were sleeping in the loft, and the rain was just pouring, it seemed like, from every angle. And I had to get out of our mosquito nets and get all our valuable books and papers and computer and, like, arrange it in a little square up in the loft where the rain wasn't hitting it. And the frogs would come in, and just lots of frogs and lots of scorpions and bats even. And so we were anxious to get into our real house, but that's the next testimony, is when God stopped the rain. Because we were anxious to get out of this shed, but at the same time, it was the beginning of the very rainy season. And in Guatemala, we get about 100 inches of rain a year, and this was the worst of the rainy season. They said sometimes it would rain for 2 weeks at a time. So how could you start building a house, a fairly good size house, carrying everything through the mud from the nearest road during the worst of the rain? But we felt that we should go forward even though it looked forbidding. And I actually had broken a rib riding on a pickup truck. I fell not very far or anything, during this time I couldn't work even in building my own house, so everyone did it for us. And I'm so thankful for the help of the whole village that helped us. But, during this time, I just wanted to mention that even though the Adventist Church has been in Guatemala for about 100 years, they basically, either because of various factors, I guess, they don't really do any work for these isolated people. And so even they had never translated the book Steps to Christ into Kekchi, which I felt that it's a small book. It should have been one of the first things that I would have done. So we made that one of our first big projects, and we paid for translators to translate that book into Kekchi during this time frame. So praise God. You can go to the next slide, please. Everything had to be carried. That's our neighbor, Fermin. He only has one eye, but he's the strongest man around. And he's a great blessing to help get everything up. You know, you might think, well, why don't you have someone help him? Well, they're proud, strong people, and even if you offer, they won't let you help. So they carried everything for us. And I just want to say that God stopped the rain for us. It took about 2 months to build our house, and that was the worst of the rainy season. I mean, those 2 months were the exact worst months of the rainy season. And it rained on the weekends, rained on Sabbath, it rained even during lunch break, it rained at night, but it almost never rained during the day. So God stopped the rain for us. And then we are able to move into the house. And you can go to the next slide, please. Those are the five men that mainly built our house. I should add here that the first time it rained all day was the first day we had scheduled all the workers not to come. So another man in that same area was trying to build his house during that time, and later he told me, he said he just had to give up the whole project for that time being because of all the rain. And I said, well, I can't explain it, but God helped us. Okay, you can go to the next slide, please. This is the letters of the Kekchi language, and they have the same alphabet for the most part. But the sounds are a lot different, and they have a lot of glottal sounds. It's hard even for me to do them, and I don't really feel like demonstrating. But anyways, during this time also, we published a tract about the Sabbath, the history of the Sabbath, the verses about the Sabbath, the Sabbath in history, and also answers to common objections about keeping the Sabbath. And that was just for myself, it was a blessing to do. There's many more stories I could tell you about. There was a time I thought I was being kidnapped and hitchhiking at midnight and just different things. But we're going to have to go on. Okay, so I'm going to share a little bit about our needs here. The biggest need we have is for more laborers. You know, we're only one little family, so we can only do so much. So please, if you can pray for us, that's our biggest need right now, is more laborers. And, you can go to the next slide, please. This is this section here. This is kind of what we're trying to do for the people. This is not anything finished or anything. It's just a conception of the kind of the graphic that we're going to put on our upcoming publication for the Kekchi people. And it says La Kwamik is how you pronounce that. The W sounds like a Q, but that means your friend in Kekchi. Kind of reminds you of a little children's publication, Your Friend, or something like that. So we want to put short, interesting articles about testimonies, health information, and Bible information interspersed with little facts about life that they may not know. And so this is one thing that, you know, we're not going to sell these, so we're going to give them out to people. So if you are impressed to help with the cost of the publishing, we would, you know, we would definitely appreciate that. But let's see here. You can go to the next slide, please. These are two of our about four or five translators here, and you know, I don't know if this is going to shock you or what, but the man over here on the right, he's one of the few. I mean, way less than 1% of the Kekchi people that know fluent English, fluent Spanish, and fluent Kekchi, of course. And he helped us translate some of our literature. And he's also the son of the chief of our village. And so he's helped us tremendously, even getting our residency in Guatemala, because he actually works in the capital now. And he can help with the process of our immigration, you might say. And the man at the back of the table, he's actually the local Catholic priest. But he's a lay priest. And he's probably done more than any other person to help us in the area, from building our house, our furniture, to helping with our yard, to be also one of the most honest people, trustworthy people that we have, translating both our speech and our literature. And he's also helped squash rumors about us, because the people are very superstitious. They thought we were engineers trying to do a mega project of a hydroelectric dam in the area, which had obviously no founding in reality. But anyways, he explained to the people that came to him, because people look up to him, you know, that's not anything that we're about. And so I just want to praise God that a lot of the people that help us have helped us, both in Guatemala and here in America, have not necessarily been on the same page as us, but God has worked on their hearts to help us. Okay, so God gave us a plan to distribute this literature. There's just no way. I'm not physically strong enough to walk to all these villages, because a lot of the villages don't have any type of road, and you can't even ride a bicycle or motorcycle to their place. So the problem of reaching these villages is an incredible problem, and you know, to this day it's not solved. And I don't know, there's no easy solution outside of the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit and things like that. But for our literature, God has given us a solution that we can go to a local main city. They call the municipality, where all these rural people maybe once a month travel to get things that they can't get locally and record the birth of a child or something like that. And when they're there, we can take our literature to these crowded bus terminals that travel to the rural areas. And I can give them literature while they're getting on the bus. They can read it on the trip, which might take an hour or more. And then I get free postage when they carry our literature back to their village. So this is a land that's no postal service. So, you know, God has solutions where there aren't any. Okay, you can go to the next slide. I just want to say how thankful I am that God has arranged people to help us in our work. You know, when we went to Guatemala, there was no person or organization offered to help us, but and we went with basically using our own funds and things like that. But right when we needed it, God provided through kind of an unlikely source, someone that we had befriended told us, well, let's see here. Anyways, a ministry from Nebraska reached out to us to try to help us. And I'd like John the Phillips to stand up, please, if you don't mind. Okay, they drove all the way from Nebraska to be here. And he says not that far, but it's a ways. So anyways, I just want to praise God for bringing people to help us financially in the work, which has been a great blessing. And this is just their website. Okay. So now this is like the third section, and I know I'm probably way over time, right? Okay. Well, I think I am, but I'll just do just a short little appeal here for missionaries. Has anyone heard of William Carey? Okay. He lived in a time in England when the church at large, you know, there's no Seventh-day Adventists back then, but the church at large did not feel that there was any need to fulfill the Great Commission of taking the gospel to all the world. Now, to us, that might seem like an impossibility. How could anyone ever believe that? But he spoke up one time in a meeting, and he said, "I think we need to take the gospel to the heathen." And one of the ministers said, "Sit down, young man. When God wants to convert the heathen, he will do it without your help or mine." Well, you know what? That man did not give up, and he went on to become one of the most famous missionaries. But you know, we noticed something interesting, that when we decided to be missionaries, a lot of people really tried to discourage us. I want to just appeal to you today, please don't do that. If some young person or family wants to be a missionary, try to encourage them, because it's going to need all the encouragement possible to encourage them, because when you're alone in a third world country or somewhere by yourself for many weeks or months or years at a time, you're going to be thankful that people want you there and they're praying for you. So, instead of saying, "Well, God hasn't called me to be a missionary," I want you to say, "Those poor people living in darkness, what can I do to help them?" So God wants us all to be missionaries, whether if we can't go overseas, which we can't all go, but if we can't go overseas, you know, we can all do something, even the children. Okay, and so if you can go to the next slide. This is a quote, actually, that Brother John shared me. It says, "To show a liberal, self-denying spirit for the success of foreign missions is a sure way to advance home missionary work. For the prosperity of the homework depends largely, under God, upon the reflex influence of the evangelical work done in countries afar off." So if you walk into their fellowship hall, you'll see around all these booths about the ministries here at Three Angels. And that's a great blessing. And God wants those ministries to prosper. But just remember that we can't always look inward. We have to as well look outward. And so God wants to give success with home missions, but it depends, the success of those missions depend largely, under God, upon how we help the foreign work as well. Okay, you can go to the next slide, please. God is calling for men who are willing to leave their farms, their business, if need be, their families, to become missionaries for him, and the call will be answered. My words today are not in vain, because I know they will strike a responsive chord in some of your hearts. God is in charge of the vineyard, and he is the one that sends out laborers and missionaries into the harvest. And the harvest is great, and the laborers are few. There are very few missionaries in the world today that are Seventh-day Adventists. Very few. And if anyone tells you that a lot of countries are reached already, don't just take that at face value, because Guatemala has had Adventists for a long time, but they're not reaching these rural people. And there's a lot of countries like that that do have Adventists, but they need to be motivated. We all need to be motivated out of the stupor that we're in, the sleepiness, to do work for the Lord in foreign countries. And you do not realize how privileged you are to be born or to live in America. Some of you may not have been born here, but at the same time, the intellectual and spiritual knowledge that you have is far in advance of some of these other countries. They don't know you know, some of the people in our area, they think Americans are rich because they know how to print money, or they don't know what gold is, you know, or how cars were made. You know, these are all things that, or that the earth is round and not flat, or, you know, different things like this. So these are all things that we take for granted, and we have a duty to share with people that are less privileged than ourselves. It's a duty, but it's a privilege too. Okay, next slide, please. God asked a question, and it doesn't appear that he said it straight to Isaiah, but maybe he did. But Isaiah wrote here, he said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. What a good response. Should we wait till God just drops a letter down from heaven to say, you need to go and take the gospel somewhere? You don't need it. Matthew 24 already was written 2,000 years before you were born. And the Great Commission is for you too. And, you know, instead of waiting for God to say, please go, God's already asking, just like in Isaiah's time. He's already asking, who's going to go? God's waiting for you to say, I'm here and I'm ready. You know, send me, please. So this life is really short. We only have one shot. We've got to make our life count for eternity. And so I pray that that you today would settle in your minds that wherever God wants you to go, whether it's here or anywhere, the important thing is just to surrender to God. And he will show you. He will guide you if you're willing to follow. And may God bless you.
Thank you, Eric. Let's open and get ready for our closing song, 285. 285. Jesus calls us. 285.
Please stand.
Just one quick thing before Eric closes with prayer. There was one announcement I failed to make, and that was that tomorrow morning at 9, between 9 and noon tomorrow, there is a work bee scheduled. It was in the bulletin, but I want to make that clear. There is a work bee here tomorrow morning at 9, so please put that in your schedule. And next week, we will have Oklahoma Academy here for church service. So look forward to that.
Will you honor me, please? thank you so much for sending missionaries, people to reach us. Because you've reached every one of us who are here in some way. And I thank you for touching our heart from you this morning. I believe you have. Thank you for the work, the unselfish work of taking the gospel everywhere. It needs to go everywhere. We're so thankful to be a part of it. I pray that you please bless these people here at Three Angels with your Holy Spirit. And please send us forth, O Lord. You're ready.